Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick continuing to hold fort over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe doing the same out on the west side in Bellevue. And Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by Rumble On. Gentlemen, yesterday we had a little baseball practice last night, and after being down in the dumps for 2 days, couldn't get motivated. I just needed something like that to springboard me back into action, and it just had me thinking. You know, it's good that NASCAR is back and UFC and some of these things that we're talking about, and hopefully hockey is sooner rather than later. But I do think there's some of this going on in our lives, that it was something that simple, if I can spit it out, that, you know, kind of got me going again. It kind of recharged my batteries, because for 2 days I was pretty down in the dumps about what happened Saturday night here in our great city, and that kind of jump-started. So maybe we need stuff like this to get us going and get us going in the right direction. In other words, sports, get your act together, and let's start playing again.
Yeah, I think you were listening to the rundown today, because that's what we were talking about, and took some calls. Really appreciate the listeners for getting involved on that, because sports bring us together, and that was the whole theme of the conversation, and how they need to, as you said it, and that's a nice way of putting it, get their act together and get back. And that's really directed at Major League Baseball and now Major League Soccer for threatening to lock out their players. You know, I think the NHL has a pretty good plan in place. The NBA seems to be going in that direction. But I agree. Let's get back on the field or the court or ice or whatever.
And are we any closer? I don't know. Caleb Joseph told us yesterday he felt good. I mean, he was very positive. But I'm not sure the game that MLBPA and the owners are playing on June 2nd. I'm just not sure why we're having this back and forth that probably ends up right back where they started. And the way I look at it is, you're just wasting valuable time, man. You should have been doing this. Why weren't these reports back a month ago when you were trying to figure everything out? But I guess,
because they want to wait till the very last minute.
Well, why did I wait until the morning a paper was due at 10 o'clock to start finishing writing it at, like, 6 a.m.?
Yeah, you're not going to get me to comment on that, because I'm in that boat, too.
I think we've been there, right? Sometimes until the deadline is there, you just don't feel
6 a.m. is generous.
Yeah, well, that's after staying up until probably 1 or 2 o'clock, getting started on it. And, you know, it's just like, well, if I get to here, then I can get up at 6, and then I'll have it done by 9:50. And then I'll sprint over to the classroom and turn it in. It's just human nature, I think, some. But I agree, you guys, first and foremost, you guys remember, I was a mess to start the show yesterday. We're not out of the woods, you know, but I'm trying to stay hopeful with everything. And I think baseball is symbolic, right? Sports, we're a sports show. That's how we see the world a lot, through the lens of sports. So I know sports aren't the most important thing in the world, but they can be part of a unifying process. They have a piece in the puzzle, right? I was listening to Jason Stark and Doug Glanville, who have an excellent baseball podcast. Doug Glanville was excellent on it, and that was kind of his message, is, you know, baseball has a great opportunity here because of where they fall, where they are in their whole grand scheme. They could be a great part of the process here. But what are they going to do with that opportunity? You know, if they got to get it together behind the scenes. Okay, 50 games. Come on, get on the same page. Each side's got to make some sacrifices. Take advantage of this opportunity and be part of the process here. And then, you know, with everything else beyond sports too, you know, we're not, we still got a lot of stuff. I mean, it's not, it wasn't going to completely, you know, go back to, it wasn't going to end yesterday, right? We're still going to have, and some of it is good, right? The peaceful protests, some of the stuff that you see is uplifting, right? And then there's still some things where you say, oh no. Cough.
You mean where stores in Murfreesboro were shutting down in the middle of the day yesterday because people were claiming they were going to go loot those stores?
Well, you can pick out examples all over the country, right? Good and great examples, uplifting examples, and then examples that, again, you're like, come on. But my thought of the day is, and I did this on my jog. I'm still sitting here dripping in sweat. I look like a total idiot here sitting in front of the microphone. I'm glad you guys are not in the studio with me, because you'd be sitting there going, geez, I wish we had a little more room to social distance, because Willie is a sweaty pig right now. But I just tried to – I used an adage that I learned from Coach Fogler, who learned it from Dean Smith, and I'm sure Dean Smith learned it from somebody. On the basketball court, when you made a basket – if you score, your first thing that you do is not to turn attention to yourself, but you immediately point to the person, to somebody on your team that did something to help you score. Either they made a good pass to you, or maybe they set a good screen. You know, whatever it was, you point to that person. You nod. And so I tried to do that on my jog this morning. I just started to say, all right, I'm going to acknowledge everybody that I see. You know, somebody driving by in a car, somebody walking their dog, somebody working in their yard, a worker working on a house that was decimated by the tornado. You know, I tried to make eye contact. I didn't say anything. You know, I was jogging. A lot of times I just put my headphones on and I'm just tunnel vision and I'm off of my own world. But I tried to just acknowledge everybody. That's a little thing, but I just thought that that would be a good little thing that nobody could tweet and say, oh, well, what about this? You know, that's what we like to do on Twitter. You try to put out a good thought, and then a lot of people come back at you, and they attack the thought. Well, let's start with something really simple. Just acknowledge somebody you don't know. Just nod. You know, realize that they're out there. So that's my thought of the day. It's a little thing, but hopefully this is going to be a step forward.
All
we could do is, honestly, is – take care of your own house. Take care of your own house, and that's what you're basically talking about. Look, there are just certain people, and I hate using the comparison of Twitter, because who knows who these individuals are? Who knows where they are?
They may not be an individual.
Right, exactly. So you just don't know what's behind the stupidity that you see on Twitter. So I don't really even like to use that as an example. But, I mean, there's just certain people. I said this yesterday. There's just certain people. You're just not going to change their mentality. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is for them. I don't know. All you can do is take care of your – that's why when I said yesterday, a lot of this stuff that, one, I can't relate to, because I've never walked in those shoes. And, two, I don't think like that. Like, it's so – you know, it's surprising and disappointing, and the three of us don't. Now, you know, I'm not going to say I feel very comfortable speaking for everybody here. You know, you don't think like that. And Marquise, I'm not leaving you out on purpose. I just, for the sake of, you know, where I'm going with this is, we just don't think like that. So it's not top of mind. But I also know that the three of us haven't gone through. And I don't know if Marquise has got personal stories or people out there listening have personal stories. But we just see people as people. And, you know, that's all you can do. Like I said, you can just take care of your own house. Like, I'm not going to sit on here and be phony about it, because I just think it's silly. You know, when things like this happen, I think it's ridiculous when white people get on here and are like, I've got this many black friends, and, you know, it's just like, stop it. If you have to sit there and tell people that, then it's coming off in a bad way. It's coming off phony. It's like you're trying to, you know, it's like the guy that, you know, wants to always tell you, or the person that always wants to tell you their resume, right? It's like, why do you always tell me your resume? Like, I get it, okay? Or the guy that's always claiming he's with, you know, so many girls. It's like, well, if you always have to tell us that, I tend not to believe everything you say, because why do you always feel the need to tell me that, right? So, yeah, there's no reason to go down there. It's truly about just taking care of your own house. That's all you can control, truly. You can try to spread the good message, which we try to do every day, and hope that that resonates with people, and hope that maybe that even changes people. But overall, there's some people you're just not going to. And that's just the world we live in. And that's why I said, I'd love for this to all be like cancer, and we cure cancer, and we cure racism, and, you know, inequalities in this world, and we all stand together, and everything is great. I would love for that to be the case. I would also tell you that I don't know if I believe I will see that in my lifetime, and I hope I'm wrong. I want to be desperately wrong. Unfortunately, I think we're always going to be talking about it, but always bringing attention to something and talking about things isn't a horrible thing at all. It's better than ignoring it, I can tell you that, and I get it. There's a lot of people that are fed up with just talking about it. You hear us talk on this show all the time about words. Yeah, those are words. How about actions? And I get it. There's a lot of people ready for actions. But you can't flip the switch, man. You don't get to snap your fingers and everything's perfect. That's not how it works. It's just going to be like, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's just going to be one bite at a time. That's all we can do. But just do your part. Really, just like what you said, do your part. If that makes you feel good today, then do that. You know, taking a jog and waving to people, acknowledging people, that makes you feel good. That puts pep in your step for today. Then do that. Do what works for you. Right? If you feel That's like you never key. Acknowledge the cashier at the grocery store, that you feel like you're always in their line, and you know what? Today, you feel like today is the day you're going to talk to them and have a conversation, and that's going to make you feel better and feel good, then do it. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Control what you can control. And then try to spread the word and hope that it's contagious.
Set the example. Lead by example. Yeah. We talk so much on the show about what makes great players, what makes great coaches, what makes great teams. I think it's a simple analogy, and that's why we play sports, right? Apply these to life. Apply these to the situation we're in. You know, what makes a great team? What makes a great leader of a team? What makes a great team player? Lead by example. Acknowledge each other. People that come from different backgrounds play on the same team and make a great team. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we need to do right now. It's, you know, maybe it's shallow to say that, just to apply lessons that I've learned in sports from coaches, but I think it would help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I share the same story as Teron. When I moved to the South, I was young. I was only 12. So obviously he was a little bit older. So whatever I learned from the South is what I learned on TV, and it was not good. And I was scared to even come out here until kind of like my grandpa, my grandma, and my mom obviously raised me to just be like, look, man, you never live life scared. Always live life aware. Be aware of what you're doing and where you are and how you approach yourself, but just never live in fear. And I've kind of lived that method. I went to a school that is well known for racism, and I never saw that while I was out there because I was aware of it, but I just blocked it off because I just wanted to live like a normal person, not to live in fear. And that's why people are protesting. Now, I don't agree with the rest of it, of tearing up your city and the communities that people have built and worked hard to build on, but the protest, that's what it's for. That's why people, you know, that's why Colin Kaepernick kneeled. He wasn't kneeling because he wanted to disrespect the flag. That wasn't his message, but we always seem to have something to block the actual message that person is trying to get across. He was never kneeling because it because of military or anything like that. But people wanted to use that as a way to ignore his true message. And that's what we're doing with the protests. We're using the rioting as a way to just ignore the fact that there are people getting murdered out here. And it's sad. And that's all people want. People just want their voices to be heard. And that's it. And I was always raised to have friends of all cultures. I didn't care if you were, you know, what your sexual orientation was, you know, what you preferred, men or women. I didn't care what your race was. My best friend is from a small town in Georgia who he was probably raised a certain way, different than me. But we're best friends, and I never saw him any differently. His family opened me up with open arms, and I think that's how we improve as a society, is having friends of different cultures and different beliefs and all this, and then learn from them. And then that's how we can move forward with everything.
Acknowledge. Well, exactly. Said, Marquise. That's what I'm talking about. There's yep. a lot of levels to it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think another thing that people drive me nuts today, and Darren, you were touching on this earlier, you know, we deal with stuff in our own way. And that's okay. That's what makes this country great and makes us individuals. And people have different thoughts. And when you call somebody out for them not thinking the way you think or doing it exactly the way you do it or saying that my way is better, I mean, come on.
That's not progress.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's yeah. a part. That's the that, problem.
That is exactly what exactly. we're talking about.
And when people say, like, look, you'll never be able to live like an African-American man, guess what? You won't. You won't be able to, but you can listen. And then that's all people want is, yeah, you're not going to be able to live in my shoes and live in my skin and – you know, go through the same things that I go through, but listen to what I go through. Yes. And then we can move forward with how to fix what I'm going through and vice versa. And then that's how we get through life in general, just talking and communicating and listening. And I think that's what we have. This is where we miss out on in the middle of just listening.
My grandfather taught me a very valuable lesson one time. Stop, look, and listen.
There
and
you
that's
go.
What we need to do.
Butch Spearden on the other side. We will talk to him. And as downtown Nashville is reopening, we've had nice conversations with Butch throughout all this. We'll continue that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday morning. We say hello to the CEO of the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation. Butch Spearden is on the line with us. Butch, how you doing?
Pretty good, guys. How are y'all?
Well, we're just trying to plow through this 2020 calendar year. I feel like every time we talk, sometimes there's just not a lot of good news, but we'll just keep searching for good news. I guess let's start with some good news.
If you're going to plow through, would you get a couple extra horses and
kind
of pick up the pace a little bit?
No doubt about it. So let's start with some good news. You know, now that the downtown is somewhat trying to, you know, reopen and get things going again, going through the phases, what have been your observations? We had Todd Rodemel on the show yesterday, who was, of course, with the downtown Omni Hotel, just kind of talking about how this has been for them. Well, what about now on your end?
You know, from a 30,000-foot view, people are starting to inquire about, you know, making plans to come. We see pretty good interest. We're still going to take it very carefully and slowly. And, you know, if I say hiding behind or making sure our good-to-go campaign where all the businesses just, you know, pay attention to the little things that can keep us open longer or keep us from shutting back down. And, you know, there are always going to be little reminders. I just read an email or an article about Peg Leg Porker. And after last weekend, I guess being out with crowds, one of their employees tested positive. So they've had to shut down for 2 weeks. And to their credit, they had been taking all the right precautions, and they're stepping that up further. But it is real, and you never know. So you can't be too careful.
So how are you guys? We talked with Todd about this yesterday, the hotel industry, like things they are going to have to do differently moving forward. We talked about youth sports starting to come back around. By the way, the high school sports got back out on their playing surfaces yesterday, but, you know, kind of the new rules in place with youth sports and trying to do these tournaments this summer, and things are not normal. So everybody has to have that new approach. So how have those meetings been? Because I think the last time we had you on, but you were talking about, you know, business coming back around way down the road, but for stuff in the foreseeable future and moving forward, how have those meetings been of how you have to go about things differently?
You know, so far everybody has been great, especially on the Nashville business side, hotels, restaurants, attractions. I truly believe they want to get it right. You know, then you have conversations I have not talked to, but there's technically three big youth girls basketball tournaments in July. You know, I want to know more about what their plans are. You know, it's not just the responsibility of the venue. I trust the venues. I want to know that I can trust the client.
Yeah, that's a good point. Everybody trying to see. So what have you seen to this point, you know, downtown? We're not down there on a regular basis. We're doing the show from home. So what have you seen on business, and as things have started to reopen, what does it look like downtown?
Very slow, small. We haven't had any big crowds. Haven't had any complaints that I've heard of. I know we started music yesterday. I mean, broader music beyond one or two. But I don't see crowds for a little bit longer. You know, on the bright side, the Nashville, both the meeting planning customer and the leisure visitor, they're really loyal. They truly love our town. And I think that'll help us. But it might also mean we ramp up a little quicker. And I'd say that probably starts in earnest in July. I think everybody's feeling their way out right now.
Talking to Butch Spearden from the Convention and Visitors Bureau and one of our city leaders as we try to continue to progress forward here. And Butch, I try to read the mayors, and I've seen you take part in the morning updates for our city, mm-hmm. which I think are really, really well done from all the different angles here. So I try to track the numbers, and you know, we know the numbers. As we test more people, it's hard to put them all in complete context and keep track. But how do you feel, based on, you know, what gets discussed every morning, how we're progressing from phase two to phase three? Because I know that's important in the grand scheme of things, especially for what you do and for what we all do.
Yeah, phase three is probably the true test. You know, we passed phase one with flying colors. Phase two, at the midway point, seems to be working. And now we enter that, okay, as close to business as normal since March 3rd. So I think that is when we find out what we're made of, because more people are going to trust. More people are going to come out naturally, and there's going to be more pressure on the businesses to get it right. And I keep saying that we do like three updates a week to our members. You know, as you said, I'm, you know, usually at the mayor's press briefings, talking to health every day. We can't afford a backslide. We just cannot. The thought of how devastating it could be is beyond comprehension. So, you know, that's not an option. We have to get it right.
I know this on a lighter note, one of the things I've heard get discussed is a theme song. You know, Nashville is such a great, you know, power source of tremendous songwriting. And I think there's been kind of a contest, for lack of a better word, to come up with a great song. Where are we on that?
You know, I haven't seen the results, but, you know, basically it was a two-pronged, I'll say, activation. One, let's try to prop up the songwriting community. They're devastated like everybody else. They tend to be forgotten. So we did a competition that got first, second, and third place got paid. The judges got paid. People got motivated. I think we might have even paid a little bit for the entries. Then we had the pros pick a winner. And then the mayor wanted to engage the community. And so the public has been voting to see if they agree with the pros or if they have their own favorite. I haven't seen the results of the public vote, but the pros voted for a song called I Will Survive. And it's a pretty cool song. I got to say, I agree with the pros. All three songs were great, but that one just had a little edge to it in the right way.
Butch, you know, we talk a lot about leadership here and how you know, we need leaders to get us through this. I'm curious for you, you know, it would be easy to sit back and say, okay, just tell me when to turn on the lights and you know, we'll get back to it. But I know you've really tried to educate yourself and try to learn, you know, what's the important information? How do we find out what we need to know to get back where we're going? Because the decisions you guys make, you know, are guiding all of us here. How much do you think you've learned about this whole thing since we started?
Oh, from 0 to 60 in maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then continue to add on it. It was, when I went to Vanderbilt back in the day, I don't know if they still do it, but they had 3-week Maymesters where you took a course in 3 weeks that counted full credit. I feel like I went to Maymester in March.
I never took the Maymester, but I know what you're talking about for sure.
Yeah, thank you. getting the information correct, you know, there's so much misinformation flying around that it really, I tell you, motivated me and us to really understand and go to the source. You know, we're constantly talking to the head of the health department, the chairman of the virus task force, and the head of Vanderbilt Health, you know, trying to not take our information from politicians, but from the medical experts. And I think it's helped. We started every day. We put out a update to our members. We have 1,200 business members. We probably sent an update to a couple thousand. We don't care if you're a member. We want to engage and inform and create that path of trust that we're not going to tell you anything we haven't verified. We're not going to overreact, and we're also not going to under-respond to situations. And from the response we've got from our members, I feel really good about it. You know, I don't always feel like we could do more, but we've got everybody reading and everybody kind of on the same page. I haven't had, you know, much angst, much criticism or blowback from what we've been putting out. And then I mentioned the Good to Go campaign. This was a Ryman Hospitality, Vanderbilt Health, and us, you know, enhancing the protocols, the data, and the information for our businesses. So we're all getting the same information at the same time. And I just think there's nothing more important or more critical than that. Factual, accurate, timely information. And then if we all row together, you know, we'll get out of this quicker.
Well said. Butch Spiridon here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And I'm a big NASCAR fan. I've been keeping up with everything going on with NASCAR and their return. And there's a report, nothing official from the sanctioning body itself, but a report yesterday that fans could be potentially allowed at the Homestead Miami Speedway or Talladega here in a few weeks. The number is not finalized. And like I said, it's just a report. It's nothing official. But when you hear things like that, how much are you all going to be paying attention to different gatherings that may or may not happen in other states? I know it's, you know, you have to keep an eye on what's happening here at the time, but is that something that you all will keep a close eye on to see how it might apply to Nashville?
Oh, without question. You know, probably a month ago, maybe more, our team reached out to NASCAR just to check in on the, you know, awards week and that activity. And good news for us, they said, if we start racing, then we're going to keep our awards week and our banquet and bring the burnout back. So So seeing a race again was encouraging, both in terms of bringing a sport back to life, but also that a cool event in December is likely to still happen. Then talking to the Titans regularly, talking to the Preds regularly, just trying to figure out where everybody is, what we can do to help, and going back to your earlier question, what we can learn. So the best thing, if there is a silver lining, is everybody's talking to each other, different sports, you know, different segments of our industry. Everybody's communicating and sharing, and I mean, we have to continue that.
So you brought up songwriters and musicians earlier. About a week ago, I just went for a walk through downtown, and as phase two had started and things were reopening, and you had some places that did have a couple of musicians on stage, but then I noticed that there were some bars that had giant screens on their stage, and they were streaming musical artists that usually play there. They were streaming them playing, and I thought that was a very cool idea. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on some of the creativity that you have seen over the course of this to try and help songwriters and musicians, like you said, and others, continue to do something and make somewhat of a living, even though they're not able to play in person.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It was at Kid Rock's place, and the band was actually right upstairs, you know, socially distant, but they were playing and streaming it downstairs, which I thought was brilliant. You know, I think, you know, Keith Urban doing his drive-in concert, you know, Live Nation's trying to figure some things out, Daddy's Dogs doing, you know, drive-in. I think people have been as resourceful and as creative as ever, and it shows our spirit and our drive as a country. And certainly as a community in Nashville. I probably put the drive-in movie theater and the with the concert and streaming a concert one level down in a bar as two of the more creative opportunities out there. But there's no shortage of ideas.
I agree with you 100%. I do think people have been really creative through all this. We've been creative at this radio station throughout all of this. Let's end with this, Butch. I know there's a big event in about a month or so that is a big deal for our city. When do you think the city will have to make a decision on July 4th?
Well, we had already scaled it down, and Channel 5 is going to carry it live. So we're going to have live music. But to see the live music, you're going to have to watch it on TV.
Okay.
We have a short fireworks show right now in light of the current environment. You know, we're even rethinking that. We will not put people in harm's way. So if the community is safe, that show will go on, but much scaled down, and very much a salute to frontline workers, healthcare workers, first responders. You know, we'd like to do something to honor them, but we're not going to celebrate just to celebrate. It's got to make sense all the way around.
Yeah, good deal. Hey, thanks for the visit. As always, continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, y'all take care, and you have been doing a good job socially distancing and keeping the show alive. So thanks for that.
Appreciate it. That's Butch Spirit, and he is the CEO of the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation, and he's been doing it for a very, very long time, and there's nobody better than to talk about the history of this city, and especially downtown, than Butch, because he's been there every step of the way. And hopefully, you know, we'll just continue to take steps forward in trying to return back to a little normalcy in downtown Nashville. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. We know a lot of local businesses here in Middle Tennessee are now open, and they're ready to serve you during these times. You can help them out by visiting rocknashville.com, and that's for delivery, pickup options, fitness ideas, virtual entertainment, and so much more. We got this, Nashville. Support your local businesses. Appreciate Butch Spirit for joining us here on Darren, Donnie, and Chase. Pretty interesting things on the NASCAR front coming out of Butch and his conversations with the sport. If you did miss what he said, here's exactly how it sounded.
Probably a month ago, maybe more, our team reached out to NASCAR just to check in on the, you know, awards week and that activity. And good news for us, they said, if we start racing, then we're going to keep our awards week and our banquet and bring the burnout back. So seeing a race again was encouraging, both in terms of bringing a sport back to life, but also that a cool event in December is likely to still happen. Then talking to the Titans regularly, talking to the Preds regularly, just trying to figure out where everybody is, what we can do to help, and going back to your earlier question, what we can learn. So the best thing, if there is a silver lining, is everybody's talking to each other, different sports, you know, different segments of our industry. Everybody's communicating and sharing, and I mean, we have to continue that.
So there you go. Looks like we had a great time at the music, the beautiful Music City Center last December, where we did our show and we had the who's who of NASCAR stop by our table and hang out with us. And it was in lieu of the awards banquet that was going to take place in our city and the burnout, as Butch mentioned. And there you go. Sounds like they're coming back.
And that's news. Like that has not been out there. So that I had not heard that until Butch just said it. So that's fantastic news, because while we knew it was a success and we thought it was probably going to come back, there hadn't been official word. So that is good news. And obviously, you know, NASCAR and the city will continue to monitor this situation, make sure it's safe. But that is fantastic news.
So there you go. We wanted to pass that along. That's really good news. Well, we're searching for good news, because where I'm going next is unfortunately not good news. Just saw where the we've lost a man. He was a tremendous basketball player with the Washington Bullets, Wes Unseld. Did you see that? Unfortunately has passed away at the age of 74. He was a player for them. He was a coach for them. He was a general manager for them. And unfortunately he is gone at the age of 74. This has not been a good run in our sports world. We had Pat Dye. In fact, that's where we're going next hour. Pat Dye, the unfortunate news of his passing yesterday at the age of 80. Eddie Sutton, we just lost him. Jerry Sloan, just lost him. Don Shula, Pepper Rogers, Bob Watson, Phyllis George. This is all in the calendar year of 2020. And, Willie, I think you would appreciate this one. Sad to hear that Biff Pokoroba we lost him in 2020. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, I'll tell you, some of the things that come to mind when I hear Biff Pokoroba and Wes Unseld, just my childhood, right? Growing up,
yep.
those were names. Biff Pokoroba wasn't a star, but you know, I collected baseball cards, and I'll bet I have every Biff Pokoroba card that there is in my basement somewhere, probably more than one. He's of each year. You know, he's a guy that you could probably get doubles and triples of. I say that in a fun way. I love just going back through names like that. It just brings back great memories for me and why I love sports. I have some Wes Unseld cards as well. I went and saw Wes Unseld play in New Jersey. I can remember the night, that great Washington Bullets team that won the 1978 championship. That was the first NBA final that I watched, and when they came to play the Nets, my dad took me to the game. It was in Piscataway, New Jersey, before the Meadowlands Arena, the Byrne Arena, was built. They played at Rutgers, if you could believe that. So it was Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes and Bobby Dandridge and players like that. Kevin Greavy, you remember him, Darren, Kentucky guy, that we've had on the show a few times. He's been a great commentator over the years. Special stuff, you know. So this is a guy, you know, when you say Wes Unseld, you think NBA basketball. You know, one of the greatest pure rebounders, outlet pass, tough. And like you said, it spans more than just being a player. You know, GM, coach, all of that stuff. So that's one of the great ones.
He was the MVP of that finals. He was the second overall pick. And do you remember when he was selected in the first round, second overall pick, what the actual name of the team was then? It wasn't the Washington Bullets.
Yeah, the Baltimore Bullets.
The Baltimore Bullets, yeah.
I obviously wasn't around for that, but I knew that.
Yeah, that was before even before my time, Chase. But
I knew the answer.
The Baltimore Bullets.
The Baltimore Bullets. He was fantastic player. I think he got some gold medals too, right? And I think he was in the Pan American Games in the late 60s. But, man, he was a tremendous, tremendous basketball player at Louisville, ironically. He grew up in Kentucky. And played at Louisville, but fantastic player, and unfortunately saddened to hear that he has gone at the age of 74.
Yeah, that's sad news. Marquise just sent us only player to win MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same season. That's cool. I didn't know that.
No doubt about it. Kevin Skarbinski, speaking along these lines, will join us in the next hour. And Kevin Skarbinski has been covering sports in Alabama for a long time, and he's got great stories on Pat Dye. Pat Dye was a big part of course, he's a Hall of Fame coach, but a big part of, you know, the history of the SEC in the decade of the 80s. I mean, they were a powerful football program. So we'll get into storytelling with Kevin to kick off the second hour of the program. Ramona Shelburne from ESPN will join us at high noon today, and then Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker, today at 1 o'clock. So we've got a loaded show for you today on this Tuesday as we continue to try to figure out, okay, who's next? I mean, the NHL jumped out there. Well, it's not finalized, and we don't have, but they are going, all signs are in the right direction, and you do wonder, what are the signs for the NBA? What are the signs for MLS? What are the signs for Major League Baseball? As we talked a little bit earlier in the show, I'm not sure I know where that's going. We're getting all this good news. I told you the high school, we had Bill Spurluck on, I think it was last week, talking about Rutherford County about to get cranked up, and yet they did yesterday. They were back out on the field for high school sports yesterday. And you know, with these youth tournaments getting cranked up and going again, and all this forward progress and movement in the sports world, and yet those three that I just named, I'm not sure where they are. I hear that the NBA is probably going to play at Disney in Orlando, but I don't know what it's, you know, they're still fighting on whether they're going to come back and play the regular season. Are they going to have like a 20-something team playoff? I don't know. I don't know where all this is going with those
three sports. At least that's where what their disagreement's about. I mean, at least we're not seeing a lot of money conversation. I mean, there's money conversation with all of them.
The regular season stuff is about them maximizing their salaries.
Yeah, sure. That's true. But I feel like the NBA, while they're not as far along as maybe the NHL, if I rank them, I would say NHL, NBA, and then the rest are way back. That's just kind of how I look at it right now.
I'd say, unfortunately, for our market, and we have a team, I think MLS is probably last right now. They seem like they're going definitely in the wrong direction. I think of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. When I think you're going the wrong way, how do they know where we're going? Yeah, how do they know where we're going? that just does not look good at all. And I have no clue if there's going to be when the smoke clears, what it's going to look like. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think they – soccer especially can't afford to do that. Like, that's just, you know, no offense to MLS, but considering that it's growing a fan base, especially in this market, I mean, it's new, I just don't see that being beneficial to them, you know, because we've been sitting here saying that baseball – may not be able to rebound from something like that if they don't play the season because they're fighting over money. I mean, how do you think it's going to affect soccer? I don't see that being good at all. So they need to figure that out in a lockout during this climate. That is just not the way to do it.
Bad look. We had Caleb Joseph on yesterday. Really good conversation with him. Toronto Blue Jays catcher, Nashvillian, and he felt good about the return of baseball.
Yeah, I do. I think the proposal was that MLB sent over, I think it kind of took some people aback. We really felt like that what we agreed to in March was done, and that part of the negotiation was finished, and we're still sticking to that. And, you know, I can't help it, but there's a lot of people out there that, oh, it's millionaires arguing with billionaires, this and that and whatever. And I would just remind people that the earning span of a Major League Baseball player is super small. So take me, for example. I'm 34 years old. I've been able to play 5 or 6 years in the big leagues, but I'm at the end of this thing, and I'm at the end of the rope. And so, you know, once it's done, the baseball's over. I'm have to find something else to do. So a lot of people, they talk about, well, just play for nothing now, and then next year you'll do this and do that. Well, I mean, there may not be a next year for me, you know. So, and it's all these type of things that we're having to take into consideration. And we just really felt like that part of the negotiation was agreed upon weeks and weeks ago, so that we didn't have to be in this spot. But we do feel like there's going to be a baseball season. I couldn't say that 2 weeks ago, and the reports coming out may try to seem differently, but I really feel like here in the next week to 10 days, you're going to see a lot of people in their cars headed down to Florida or Arizona or wherever the final arrangements are, and baseball will be starting back up.
I hope Caleb's right. That's all I have to say. I hope he's right.
But I think he makes some really interesting points. I enjoyed our conversation with Caleb, because there's a lot of ways that you can go with that. And what's happened since that conversation, if you guys noticed, it sounds like Major League Baseball has come back and said, okay, we can pay you half of the games we play, but that means with the money we feel like we can pay, we can play a 50-game schedule, which nobody wants. Come on, the owner's basically saying, we're going to lose money in every game, right? Because we can't have fans in the stands. So therefore, there's a cost to playing the game. So with the cost, this is what we calculate we can play. If we have to stick to, we pay everybody half, or everybody prorated salaries. The prorated means, okay, this is the money we can pay. You can pay it over 50 games by your calculations. So what do you want to do? So I hope it keeps going back and forth, and they arrive at the compromise, which they should. And that would be somewhere between 82 and 114, whatever it is. And they meet somewhere in the middle on the prices. That means both sides are going to have to give, right? I Caleb makes a lot of good points. And, you know, they thought they agreed. But I think the bottom line is you're going to have to get off of this. This is what we thought we agreed to in March, because things have changed since March, right? And you also have to remember there's a lot of people that have lost their job since March, and they don't want to hear about, as much as it's a valid point, you know, you only have a short window to make your earnings as a player. That's an old time, that's a generational kind of thing. But this isn't the same, right? You just got to get something done for this year. And this is a huge opportunity, right? For everything we've discussed. They got to get out there.
I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. There's a reason why the owners keep, you know, you seem insulted by the number of games, and I get it, and I'm sure the players are too. The owners have the final card. If you don't think they do, I'm sorry, they do. Because I believe there are owners that just flat out, you know what, they would all love to see the season, some type of season played, but if it doesn't happen, so be it. There's not a whole lot of gain for me as a businessman. That's the way they're thinking. Then you know what? In fact, there's in some cases it's not pretty at all. And they're like, what's even the point? There are some that feel if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And that's not good for negotiations. If there are people on one side that are saying, well, okay, fine, guys, if we don't play, we'll be just fine. I'm a billionaire. I mean, that's, it stinks, but I'm okay.
I don't think people believe that. I don't think there's anybody that believes that.
I
really,
do.
Truly. They might be posturing that. I don't believe they really think that. If they would not own a baseball team if that's really their belief, that it's okay if you don't play.
They're still businessmen. Don't ever lose sight of that. They're still businessmen. And it's all – that's their mentality, business, business, business. You're thinking like a fan or a player. They're not fans. They're businessmen.
I think there are some owners that are big baseball fans, and that's why they get into it.
Yeah, but they're also businessmen.
I think the businessmen, they need to hear something from the people that love the game. This is too big to look at it like that.
Then they will look at them. We've already talked about it. They're not the ones that are going to be made to look like the bad guys. The players are going to take the heat. From the court of public opinion, it'll be the players. It won't be the owners. The owners know that. Everybody will take it out on the players. It already has happened. How much blame game has there been on the owners right now with the court of public opinion? Very, very little. It's all been geared toward the players.
Yeah, and
the owners know that.
Yeah, I mean, people are definitely going to blame the players. There's no doubt about that, and it's the standard playbook for the owners because they know that. So they're going to play towards that, and then they look. I wouldn't say they look good, but they don't look as bad as the players.
Well, they've looked bad in the past.
Oh, of course they have.
The players have squashed the owners in many a labor struggle in baseball, right? And it's probably not the same in some of the other sports. But the players' union has a track record of getting what they want, and maybe that's part of the issue here. But it's got to be both sides that get out of that mentality of this is not your regular labor negotiation. This isn't. You're going to have to sacrifice both sides. Everybody has got to sacrifice in the world we live in right now. And these guys are no exception. They're going to take losses. You're going to get paid less. You're going to bring in less. That's a given. So work your way through it.
Well, you might want to record that and send that to their meetings. Seems like somebody needs to hear that.
They'll get there.
I hope so. We will come back, start the second hour with Kevin Skarbinski. We'll talk a little bit about Pat Dye when he was Auburn's football coach. We'll go down memory lane with Kevin on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.